Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus!
Not for
gay Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Mayhem Miller. I just called Don. He says he hopes his phone doesn't die. Sean McCorkle, I don't know where he is.
Dude, I'm worried about the corkster. What the fuck, bro? Where is he? And my light doesn't work.
McCorkle, oh, it doesn't work. Every week, McCorkle says, I should probably be there, but I don't know where he's been. And Bill Dawes has COVID, so I guess he can't.
Oh, fuck? He's not going to transmit it. Tell him to wear a mask, the liberal pussy.
So it's me and Jason for now.
Oh, my God. It's Mayhem and Adam's show with uninvited guests.
So
you might as well put random people on now. Check out this new mug I got.
I think about putting guests on because we used to have guests, but I'm like, who has more qualifications than you and Don Fry?
We want to talk to like the young kids and shit, bro. Let's interview old Peyton Talbot.
Dude, all right, let's talk about that for a second because everyone's jumping off the Peyton Talbot train saying he's exposed, he's a hype. Look, I don't know much about this guy. All I know is people have bad nights.
But he's a young guy, and he needs, like, a change of training camp maybe a little bit.
It's one fight.
You never had
a bad night in the octagon?
I fucking retooled my whole game sometimes. I, like, reinvented myself 3 fucking times. The only reason I had a long-ass career was because I didn't just stick with one way. You know what I mean? I went, Chael Sonnen just took me down fucking 15 times. Let me learn how to wrestle.
Yes.
And then I learned how to wrestle.
Yes.
And then I was bulldogging everybody in the fucking, you know what I mean?
Right. So, but has there ever been like, but I'm sure there's also a case of like, you did everything right. You're amazing. 9 out of 10 times you win this fight.
Well, look, I got to be honest. I did not watch the fight. I fucking showed up late, dog. I showed up late. What? Tell me the fight. Review it.
He got dominated. Yeah. He got wrestled. He was a 10-1 favorite. He was, the kid's undefeated. He got dominated, wrestled, beat up. He looked bad on his feet. His chin was up. They were saying hype train exposed. Look, all I'm saying is maybe. But I also know that like Jake Ellenberger, I remember you telling me about Jake Ellenberger and you saying this guy's got it all. He's got everything. You train with him.
Guy, yeah.
And there was a night where Kelvin Gastelum took him down, choked him out in one round. Now that Jake said he went to train with him after that, said he beat the shit out of him in the gym. And like maybe it's just because, but I'm just saying is like there are times people have bad nights. Yes. I'm not ready to give up on somebody after one bad night.
The guy's a young guy, he's got plenty of time to figure all that shit out. I could see that if you, out wrestle him, figure out how to, he doesn't have a shit ton experience of working up from his back. You know what I mean? He's so used to through the amateur ranks. He just fucking walked over guys so strong. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where reality check, where you've been getting by on your pure talent for a good long stretch. Now, are you going to make the adjustments necessary to jump up to the next level? Well, that's up to him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So I just got I had a crazy couple of weeks. So I was on a cruise ship, working on a cruise, and it was out of Tampa, and it was fun crowds, but I happened to be on a Mormon dating app meetup cruise. So there's like...
Did your wife tell me you're on that Mormon dating app? I thought you guys were Presbyterian.
Dude, so there's like 200 people that are Mormon. And look, Mormon people are some of the nicest people and not judgmental. They weren't offended, but they were all like, but they were all laughing. But the bar made no money on them.
Let me get this wrong. Let me get this right. It was 200 couples or 200 people total. So it was 100 girls, 100 boys.
About 200 singles that were all there because they're all Mormons and they're all single and they were there to have fun. The bar must have made no money because they don't.
To like look away while you were jumping up and down on the bed for while the guy was soaking.
I don't even know what that means.
I'll tell you what it means. Soaking is a way around there. I've been to Utah, bud. I have been laid in Utah. Okay, there's two things you should know. One is soaking is a thing. Okay, it's not sex technically, but he put the penis in. Dawn's right here while I'm describing Mormon. Sex workarounds, okay? So, you stoke. You put the penis in the vagina, but no thrusting motions.
Right.
Therefore, it is not sex. Now, you really want to skirt the law, okay? You get someone else to jump on the bed so that the soaking becomes something
else. This is a real thing?
It's a real thing. I wish I was making this up.
Have you ever soaked before? Have you ever done it?
I mean, look. I didn't look in the guy's eyes who's jumping on the bed. It was her little brother. Okay. The second way that Mormons get through this, and you probably saw some of this going on, is what they call the poop hole loophole. In which, I'm telling you, it's a thing. They stick it in the butt. I'm not going to tell you how I know.
How do you know about Mormon dating? What's going on?
Holy Beatdown was filmed in Utah.
Now it makes sense.
I got six wives out there I haven't seen in fucking
10
years.
The poop hole loophole. I can't. Have you ever heard of this, Don?
No, I think I heard it last week. I think he missed it last week. That's the first I heard of it.
Sean, have you heard about this more? Because I did a cruise ship and it was about 200 Mormon singles on it. And they were all very, very nice people. But it was like, I went to the nightclub at night. It was like a high school dance. They were all in a circle, you know? So they're in a circle. And then of course there's this other black dude who's not with them giving lap dances to three girls at once. And then other people had no idea this was like a Mormon cruise or like there was 200 people. So they were just like, everyone's looking around. Did you know, Sean, about the poop hole loophole or about soaking?
No, but I have a hard time believing he's making it up on the spot with such detail. So he's got to have some sort of reference in truth there. Like, I don't think man's creative, but not that creative.
It's my plan to bring down the Mormons one at a time. Don't bang through a sheet. Oh, no, that's the Jews.
I can't believe there's a poop hole loophole. That's such a great, that's such a great phrase. Like, I mean, the fact that it rhymes perfectly is pretty fucking incredible. Like, I mean, how many things rhyme with poop hole other than loophole? And do not say, but Bruce Buffer, please, Sean. I know you're waiting. I can see it in your eyes. You're just trying to
figure out. I saw the twinkle in my eyes when Bruce Buffer was coming to mind.
Bruce Buffer as a guest on the show.
Oh, I would love that. He happens to be a very nice guy. So all right. So then I finally went to court, right? So I had my day in small claims court against Kat, the girl that stole my money, right? Or that I gave my money to.
All right.
So first of all, it was small claims court. I had to get it like three times. I had to go there. I had to get her served. I had to pay a comedian who serves people. I had to do something else, another $100, $100 there. All this shit, right? So I finally show up. I finally get it because it's only on a Thursday. You can't do it 60 days out. They make it so hard for you, right? So I show up and she's there with her husband, Chris Beal, the UFC fighter. And he's like mean mugging me. All right. Maybe he wasn't, but it seemed like he was trying to get me to. You ever have someone that tries to get you to look at them and you know they're trying to get you to look at them? Like maybe he wasn't doing that, but that's how it felt to me, right? So I go in there and she smirks at me, right? And keep in mind, this girl has stole money from over 100 people, probably over $300,000, has not given almost any of it back. She's just, it's fucking, it's nuts, right? And I went to the police department. They sent me to Van Nuys, sent me to Reseda, back to Van Nuys, to the LA district attorney to tell me to Van Nuys. It's just, and they even said, look, the legal system's fucked. Anyway, so I finally get there. And they try to get you to mediate first. right? And I know, and they knew her by name. The mediator goes, oh, hey, Kat, I know why you're here. Like, it was like she has her own parking spot there, right? So I get there and I sit with her, and then she starts saying that she's like, oh, I didn't even get served. I shouldn't even be here right now. I don't technically, because I did, and I know she did get served. I have a piece of paper and I'm up all night printing every single DM. So I went through fucking three printers. I'm up till I got 2 hours of sleep. I drove an hour to Ventura to the court, and there's a fire in Ventura. So I'm fucking like, literally, I don't know if she set the things on fire to move. I'm kidding. You didn't do that in case she's watching. But so it's just a fucking. So now I run out of paper. I'm learning DoorDash to 3 o'clock in the morning for them to deliver paper and ink. It's just a fucking clusterfuck. I have this much stacks of our, because I'm going through the entire screenshot. So I'm printing every screenshot we did. So that's at least 400 pages of paper. And I'm looking through my kid's notebooks to steal her fucking folders to put it all in. And it says like history. It's a fucking bright pink folder. And I somehow got my wife's briefcase that she made. It's like a makeup briefcase that fucking, anyway. So I show up. And I'm like, no, I'm not mediating, because she mediated with like.
Wait. Did it say shit? Did it say history or fistery?
It said, thank you, Don.
You're going like this, you know.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. Thank you, Don. I knew you'd be the guy that. Okay. No more Bruce Buffer jokes for fisting, Sean?
No. I was just picturing you carrying a trapper keeper in with 600 documents in it.
Yeah,
like holding it up like on your chest like a kid at school with a backpack.
So I show up, right? And I'm like, I'm not
mediating. Who's the other guy?
She mediated with like 10 people so far and has not paid any of them. Like they all said she already missed the payments, right? So I'm like, no, I'm not mediating. So then she says, she's like, listen, I'm only here for my case against him, against me. So then she's saying that she's here to sue me, right? So but I'm like, so the mediator's like, no, this is not your case. You don't have a case. And then so she goes, and the mediator's like, what do you want to do? Because you're not going to get any money from her. She doesn't have any money, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm not mediating. So we go in there.
Right.
Dude, there's a lady in there who's like 90 years old. It's the first case, who's suing her veterinarian for killing her cat. Her cat was 17 years old, right? And she's talking about Mr. So now they're saying Mr. Pickles. And they're like, oh, Mr. Pickles, blah, blah, blah. And dude, so this is taking like an hour and a half, right? And she's talking about how much time she misses Mr. Yeah. Pickles, and then they have the veterinarian calling in on like Zoom because it was the assistant vet tech, and the woman starts crying because she loves animals so much. Dude, I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm never getting out of this fucking. This is like, I'm on like 2 hours of sleep. My wife's mad because I woke her up with the printing paper at 4 o'clock. I slept on the fucking couch, right? So then. And then it was just one after another of like, this dude hit this Mexican dude who spoke Spanish. So he had an interpreter. He didn't have insurance. And somebody else's two old guys. I think they might have been Jewish. I'm not sure. But one of them was leaking on them. So finally, I get called up, right? And this nice judge, she's a beautiful black woman, younger. So she gets up there and she's like, okay, Mr. Greenberg, you know, what are you here for? And I'm like, listen. So I just start reading the thing. She hit me up saying, I work for the airlines. I work for JetBlue, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sell you these tickets. So I went out and bought these tickets, that tickets. The flights never came. I want my money back. She said she could hit my money back. I never got it back. And then I start going into, she ripped off 100 people. This guy, house is burned in the Maui fires. He got ripped off. This guy got ripped off. My daughter was crying. Like, now I'm getting into it. And I'm addressing everyone in the court, the people behind me. I'm talking to them, right? So then she's like, well, is that true? So then she starts saying, yes, this is true. But listen, I work for the JetBlue Airlines. I got fired for selling fake ticket for selling my perks. I was just trying to help people out. Flight attendants, we're all broke people. And I know people love traveling. And so the judge is like, what does this have to do with this case? Like, did you sell him the tickets? Yes, I did sell. Did you give him his money back? No. She's like, my coworker owes him money. And I'm like, you're the coworker. So then they're like, stop interrupting, Mr. Greenberg. Like, so then now I'm getting scolded by the judge, right? Oh, and I printed too much paper. And I was emailing them because my ink shut down. So I was emailing the court all my more files and they're like, you flooded our system with fucking DMs. So I almost got kicked out for that because she's like, why do you send us 7,500 emails with all these? Because I'm like, because that's anyway. So now, so then they're like,
it's evidence, sweetheart. Are you new to this court thing? Fuck.
Yes, I am. So then she's like, well, listen, the judge and everyone.
No, not you, the judge. Dummy, the big judge.
every other case has like, I'll talk to you in 40 days. I'll talk to you in 30 days. They were like, the judge rules in favor of the plaintiff, which is me. And then she's guilty and she owes you money. Basically, it was such an open and closed case, right? And then, and then I get up to go to the bathroom earlier. And I walk past her boyfriend who's standing there and so I have to walk past him. Like, just, I'm like, are you fucking, like, I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Ready to sprawl?
Dude, the guy was in the UFC. I mean, he's a fucking fighter, but I'm like.
Oh, at least sprawl.
Yeah, dude. But so that was that. So was
McCorkle. Come on. How tough you gotta be.
So then I asked the bailiff, because then they're like, the court rules in favor. You're going to get the judgment. And then I said, when do I get my judgment? And then they're like, just leave. Because
they laughed at you.
Yeah, they said all I get is so now basically I got a piece of paper saying I won. But if I want to actually get the money, I have to go and then go to the sheriff and pay more money and prove that she has these things. It's a whole fucking thing, dude.
Let's do it, baby.
Yeah, I sued. 15 years ago, I sued a tenant because they were like 4 months behind on the fucking rent. And we won the case. And I said, same thing. When do I get my money? The judge looked at me and laughed. Son, she's a boy. People win all the time. They never get paid. You'll never see a cent.
Yeah, so, that's.
Did you have to see that in front of them?
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what happened. So thoughts, Jason?
I mean. Yeah. You know, she sued the wrong motherfucker. I mean, he saw the wrong motherfucker, and you just went to court like you were fucking suing Enron right now for losing your life savings. I don't know. I have no thoughts on that, to be honest.
Everybody else had like Exhibit A, Exhibit B. I literally just had a stack of pages printed out the DMs, like back and forth, and my kids, it was a
document dump.
It was Dude, they gave my documents back. They told me to keep them. Like, they didn't, like.
Sean, what am I going to do with them?
Sean, what are your thoughts? Campfire? Sean, your thoughts?
I don't know. I just remember I was thinking, like, you're talking about going to court. You know, I think I told you guys I'm supposedly getting $15,000 from the $375 million to 800 fighters on the UFC class action suit.
Yeah.
So Google's ripping me off, too. So I sent that guy an email that one of the partners law firm said, hey, would you be interested in a class action suit against Google? Because they're double, triple billing on advertising, you know, all this. He goes, oh, I already have two going. Do you want to, like, join them? I was like, sure, because I can't wait to get my $7.21 in 9 years from that class action suit, you know? If 800 fighters are splitting $375 million and getting $15,000, I can only imagine what you'd be getting from Google if they got a billion and 700,000 plaintiffs, you know? So,
I know.
Just tell me this. Was the bailiff's name Rusty that you talked to, Adam?
He was not.
Seems like there's a lot of bailiffs named Rusty to me for some reason. I don't know.
No, but the Mexicans behind me that were waiting to go in their cases next were all cheering me on. They were like, oh, you go. Like, they were like, I was like 1-1 for the team. Like, this is that was kind of cool. And then I felt bad for Mr. Pickles, to be honest. You know, the cat.
I got to get to the bottom of this. Was Mr. Pickles, was it malpractice? Like,
yeah, basically, Mr. Pickles was sick, and they had to go under. He had to go under.
He was 17 years old. Mr. Pickles was 17 years old. He had put in his time. He wanted to get away from that old lady. He committed suicide.
It was the fourth time she's been to court about Mr. Pickles, too. Like, for some, like, she just keeps coming back. Somehow, it keeps getting extended. But, yeah, dude, it was like... So then I go to wrestling practice, right? Which, by the way, it took me yesterday to drive to wrestling practice to get from Palisades to my house. It took me 4 hours back home because they closed where the fires were. You can't go that. So now I have to do it. It was a parking lot. I'm like, motherfucker.
Of course they closed where the fire was. You big dummy. What are you fucking thinking? Yeah, there's a fire. Come on through. Jeez, the fucking waste.
I know, but fire, I know, but the freeway is not on fire.
Anymore. Fire kills.
But I keep seeing people with videos of them going down the whatever the, you know, talking about Santa Monica Sunset to anyway. So anyway, so so now we have a match today. We have about like 9 kids, right? 6 of them don't even know. They've been to 3 practices. Yeah. And now we're throwing them to against this team that has 50 kids that have been wrestling every day for the past 4 months, right? So these kids are asking me, how many points for a takedown? One kid is pinning the other kid. Like, they go, who's winning? I'm like, these kids know fucking nothing. Like, and so I was like, listen, guys, you know, life isn't about what happens to you. It's how you deal with it, right? We got screwed because of the fire. And then I was on an hour of sleep, right? So I wasn't really thinking. And I was like, listen, guys, listen, these kids have been practicing, you know, whatever. We haven't had any practice. But look, we're athletic. We have athletic kids. You've done jiu-jitsu. You wrestled for me last year. And I go, you know, a lot of times I'm coaching a bunch of fucking out of shape dorks, but not you guys. And I'm like, I can't believe I just said fucking out of shape dorks. I can't say fucking out of shape dorks. Like, this isn't a speech. And first of all, even if you are an out of shape dork, it's not a bad thing. You know, like.
No, it's a good thing.
You're a motivational genius, boy. I'll tell you, you gotta get the Lombardi trophy.
Dude, then I'm like trying to teach a kid a move, a double leg. And I'm like, all right, you just got to run through the kid. Like, because, you know, kids are coming in for a double and they're stopping and, you know, they're blah, blah, blah. They come in. And I'm like, no, you got to fucking run through the guy like a football tackle. So I'm like, get out of the way. So I just ran to basically into the wall and curved to the right. I go, that's what you want to do. Come here, buddy. So I get this little kid. I'm like, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you. Dude, I didn't realize how light the kid was. Right. So I get down. I pick him up.
You hurt him.
Yeah, of course. Of course I fucking hurt him. Dude, I felt so bad.
You hit an eighth running tackle? What the fuck, dog?
Dude, the kid's legs went like this.
Hey, you got to get a win. You got to get a win in somewhere, you know?
I felt so bad. I'm like, hey,
your name's Green. Your name's Greenberg. You change it. You know, you change it to something else. So, you know, you got to get the win when you can take it, man.
Dude, I'm like, hey, you okay? Yeah. I go, you want some ice cream? Because I'm so used to my kid getting hurt and then me.
Oh, you fag. You pedo. You're a fucking pedo. Jeez.
What? Escalated that quick. Damn.
Don't tell anybody. I'll get you some ice cream. If you don't tell anybody what happened to you, I'll get you some ice cream, little boy.
I texted his dad. Yeah. I called his dad that night. Hey, man, is your son okay? Oh, he's fine. The kids are bendy. As he said, the kids are very bendy.
His blood sugar's through the roof, but he's fine other than that.
Yeah. He's in a fucking sugar coma right now. We'll get that fixed with some insulin.
Oh, God. All right. So did you guys watch the fights last week? Anyone actually watch the fights?
Listen, I watched the I thought I was going to go, but Kevin Costner showed up instead. And so I didn't get to go. Whatever. No big deal. I went to like a Russian bar that during the fucking when the main event popped off, there's sparklers came out, bro. They got to every table. They gave us some sparklers and we're like wiggling around. Then a lady in a fucking bodysuit, a pretty Russian lady, a fucking came with the fire and started fucking dancing with fire, bro. It was so distracting.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Instead of dancing with wolves, the main dancing with fire.
Yes, I know. But
was it Kevin Costner?
They're in the main event. She couldn't have done it in the semi-main event.
So Islam looked good. Islam looked really good. I don't think there's a way to train for Islam unless on like a day's notice. Like I just don't think that somebody's at that level, unless you catch them.
That Moicano was gonna go fight Benny, right? So yeah. Like a whole different style of fighting, you know? It's like a completely different training camp. You know, I mean, Benny's good at jiu-jitsu, but he's not going to wrestle fuck you the way that them Islam can. And Islam, I mean, dude, it don't matter how long you train. That dart's about as strong as I ever seen one. That guy's got a damn piston, you know, piston back. that for that weight class, it's going to be hard pressed to find a guy not, you know, to escape the grappling that he's got.
Sean, is that was that Doris as good as your Kimura?
Probably not quite as good. I do want to say that if 9/11's taught us anything, it's that you can never be fully ready for Islam. So, yeah. But I had trouble, man. All four guys, or not all four, but the four that were supposed to fight in the main event, co-main event, I couldn't tell you who was who out of the four of them if you put them in a lineup. They all looked the same to me. Aren't they all Russian and Dagestani?
It was supposed to be Islam against a kid who's from Armenia.
That's not Russia. You're right.
But I'm saying, but instead it was
got a guy from Georgia.
McConnell's from Brazil. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but he was a backup for another Russian guy, right?
But I went to that Russian bar to watch the fights, and I'm telling you, bro. Okay, Umar was doing good, and one side of the bar was going ballistic, and then, the Georgian was doing good.
All right.
And the other side of the bar was great. Well, I thought it was going to be in a race riot with two white people.
Dude, I actually told my friend which four guys to bet on, and all four came in the parlay. So it was like, but I'm like, he's like, well, did you make the bet too? I'm like, no, if I would have bet, they all would have lost.
Always.
But Marab also, he's one of those guys that, like, how do you get that kind of cardio? Mayhem, Don, Sean.
I got to talk to you about Game Time. Okay, Game Time, NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game. Okay, you get to go with other fans, you have fun, you take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events, all right? They have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price, to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you're not like stuck behind a goalpost, or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, et cetera. All right, go to Game Time Picks, all right? They make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
I don't know if you watched the fight where he lost the first two rounds, won the last three, but basically he just won on grind and cardio and pace.
That's it. I think it's weight cutting too. I think that this guy is big and strong and he's not too tall, so he can keep that weight super low for the weigh-in and then come in super meaty. And then, you know, he's like one of those guys where, yeah, he's not the most technical dude or whatever, but he's got thick-ass wrestling that he can do all fucking day. You know, it's the power to cardio ratio is really high. Like, he can, you know, he does wear out. He wears himself out. He pushes the pace. It's partially mental, I think, that he just pushes the pace. And, like, he there's some type of conditioning circuit that guy does, along with some natural gifts and maybe some special sauce in there. Who knows? But the guy is like, I mean, at any moment of the fight, he could hit a high crotch.
Like, yeah, Sean, he went for 25 takedown attempts. He like broke the record. But also, like, you got to think that, like,
oh, he went for like 3 takedown attempts. No, he like did fucking a lot of that takedown stuff to wear that guy the fuck out.
Oh, he's got a lot of half shots.
If I keep hitting a fucking high crotch, you got to respect it. You can't really hit me. You can't punch me. You can punch me, you're going to be bitch-ass slaps, right? Not going to be nothing because you're on one foot. So he kept doing that and then letting him go. And then going again. And then when he really wanted to commit, he like hit the high crotch, but then went single leg. And then it's safe. It's safe because the guy can slap at you while you're single legging. But if you throw him down, then you get to point at him and make everybody laugh.
I also think 5 rounds is really good for him because if it was a 3-round fight, he would have lost. Now, of course, maybe he might not have fought that way. So you can't even say he would have lost, but he did lose the first 2 out of 3 rounds. So one of those dudes.
Everyone said that, okay? And since I got some time to talk about it with you, watch. Yeah, everyone said he lost the first 2 rounds. But to me, those rounds were
He was wobbled. The first round, he was wobbled.
Okay, he got touched for sure. But every fucking fight, he does that. Like, he takes a lot of risks. So, you know what I mean? Sometimes he gets dabbed up. But I think that even though he lost those rounds, you could see that he was dictating the pace of the fight early on. Like,
Don, did you ever get tired in a fight?
Yeah, of course. But
no, Don.
Oh.
Yeah, I got tired in a fight. Yeah. Yeah. And it sucks. It really sucks.
But that was later in your career. I feel like when you were in your prime, you didn't get tired at all.
No, it was later in my career after I'd given up. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I knew on my way to the ring, I was going to lose, you know, fuck, you know, cause I wasn't in shape. I hadn't trained properly. So I knew it was a feeling, you know, plus I was doped up, you know, so it was a feeling recipe.
Yeah, but you still won a lot of those fights.
Yeah, most of them, but the ones I'm talking, the ones I lost, I knew I was going to lose going in.
Oh, got it.
Even the first one against Coleman, you know, the only time I was healthy, you know, I was sick. You know, I was just sick. I wasn't injured or anything. I was just sick, and I knew going in there, I was, fuck, this is it. I'm done. You know.
It's a bad feel. It's like walking to an execution. You know, you're like,
yeah.
I know. I've been there.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, like, you know, I did everything I could, but fuck it, this is not a good night for this. Hopefully I can pull some shit off
and hook
this guy out quick. Or
I always had a little guy.
Yeah.
I always had a little guy going, you did nothing you should have. You did nothing you should have. You know? That's why you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, but didn't you have coaches that were, like, trying to keep you on track?
Yeah, but I ran the camp. I still ran the camp, you know. I didn't do any – the coaches did what they could, but I didn't do anything extra. You know, it's like when I wrestled in college, I didn't run. I didn't lift weights. I just showed up to practice, you know. And when you want to be good, you want to be successful, you've got to do the extra work. You know, you got to run. You got to lift weights. You got to commit. And I just didn't commit in college.
Mayhem. So
which is good because
– last fight – literally, like a week before the fight, we went out to dinner. He couldn't walk from the car to the restaurant. And I had just bought him, he paid me $400 worth of edibles at a dispensary. And I was like, Sean, you cannot fight. You can't walk 10 feet. Like, you can't walk 10 feet. And he still got in there and fought. He didn't win. But Sean, what the fuck were you thinking?
I got tricked by Roy Jones Jr., who ended up being a dick to me, so I didn't like it. He asked if I would find his show, and like, what are you going to say to your childhood hero when he asked that? So I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, how about like in a month? I was like, I don't know, man, about that. I'm got some injuries. Then they pretty much set it up and announced it without me agreeing, you know, like put it on their site or whatever that I'd be fighting at the next show. I was like, great. So they said, you can pick anybody you want. And they had a guy that I had beaten 30 seconds at Bellator who had a decent record, like 20-9. I was like, I'll fight that guy. And then turns out he lost 70 pounds and trained at American Top Team for 16 weeks. Going into it, the best shape of his life. Like, you know, he told me he came in all lean with abs and everything. I was like, what happened to you? He's like, dude, I know this is my last chance. I got the best shape of my life. I've been training for 16 weeks. I was like, I didn't even put in 16 hours trying to train
you,
for this.
You but, couldn't walk. You couldn't walk 10 feet. I don't know how you walk to the cage.
It was brutal. And he picked me up and slammed me on my back very first thing. And I lost all feeling below my waist for like 45 seconds. So I was like, great. Now I'm crippled because of Roy Jones Jr.
Jason, what are Sean's fights? He literally told the reporter before he fought the world's strongest man. He goes, this is a case of whose steroids are better. He said that. I was like, I can't believe I watching this. Like, I can't believe it. He actually just said, we'll see if my steroids are better than his steroids. Like,
yeah. I beat him, but I still think his steroids were better.
Wow. Dude, that was crazy. But all right, so there's other fights, but we got a lot to get to because there's a lot of crazy shit going on in the MMA world. First of all, have you guys been following this Global Fighting Championship?
I heard rumblings of it.
No, never heard of it.
So they signed literally 5,000 fighters, and they're having teams, right? And tonight they're having a draft, and the people that are drafting the teams, right, are I'll tell you, the people drafting the teams. You're gonna love this one, Sean.
Just fans.
So they have Brendan Schaub, Robin Black, Caroline Pierce, Mike Goldberg, and Alex Welding. So they're having a virtual draft.
We'll have six. I get invited to this. How did Sean not get invited to this? Invited to this, bro. We're right there. Like, that's like those names, like, we fit right in there like peas in a pod, bro. I have no idea how we did it. Bro, we need to fire our fucking agent, Adam Greenberg, and fucking...
Dude, I didn't get invited. Yeah. So they're having their GFL virtual draft tonight. So they have 420 athletes from 67 countries selected for 120 spots on six global teams.
I'm going to zoom into that, bro. I'm going to find the link, bro. I can't wait.
Oh!
I keep wondering how did someone not think of this before?
They're just commenting on the featuring Commissioner Darren Owen and legendary voices of MMA. Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure what that even means. All right. So these are the fighters that they signed. I mean, they must have signed 5,000 fighters because every minute on my Instagram is somebody else that they signed. They signed Paige VanZant or featuring MMA superstars. Oh, okay. Pettis, Alima McFarlane, Tyron Woodley, Paige VanZant, Sage Northcutt. So I guess I don't know if they're lending their voices to it or what. Are they drafting these people? Some of the coaches are going to be Thiago Alves and Conan Silvera. You know who that is, right?
Yeah.
Ray Longo is a coach. Leona Machida and Andre Pedernaris, they're gonna put their expertise on it. And then Luke Barnett and Carl Prince, they're involved somehow. Cain Velasquez and Javier Mendez are bringing their championship mindset and elite leadership to Dubai's team.
Just taking people's name and putting in like a Mad Lib. Like, what is going on?
Is Cain out of jail?
Yeah.
Cain out of jail.
He's out of jail. They're reducing extreme weight cutting by increasing classes. So they have more weight classes. This approach helps fighters prepare. So then they have the people, women. All right. So Julia, all right. These are the girls that could get drafted. You know, Julia Budd stands out here. The women athletes. I mean, they have like 500 of athletes, but then they signed, what's his name? They signed, Tony Ferguson. They signed Kevin Lee. They signed. It just keeps going. But I'm not. I'm not sure. Like, what did that even mean? If they signed these people, the GFL.
Cool. Well, we got another show to watch.
Does anyone know? I mean, what? But it just like my entire timeline is the people that they signed, and it just keeps going. Like Rashad Evans.
Where's Chuck Norris's name in there somewhere? I don't know. Well, they dig up Bruce Lee and wheel his corgus out there.
They signed Patrice Pitbull, Tony Ferguson, Rashad Evans, and then it's Carlos Antonio Jr. That's Shoe Face, right? Alan Silva, Pedrova. It just keeps literally, if you look up, these are all the people they signed, and it just keeps. This is their Instagram page of all fighters that they, and a lot of people. I like no Neiman Gracie. That's what I'm
fuck, bro. Get on the horn with one of these guys and ask them. Well, they paid you money. or they're paid you, they give you a contract.
Your money.
Yeah, we're going to pay. Because, like, it's a common tactic throughout the years. It's like, they'll go, a company will go and just sign this guy and say, hey, and tell, you know, oh, hey, Mayhem, I signed Don Fry. So you want to sign? Yeah, they just have a big paper empire. But I don't know.
Cigano, they signed Neiman Gracie. They signed, it just keep, I mean, there must be 500 fighters here. But if they have a draft, Greg Hardy is signed. What? You guys know Greg Hardy, Gleison Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
It just keep Chad Mendez assigned. Like, well, it just, yeah. I mean,
doesn't have a contract, they sign.
Juan Adams. I mean, people that I know, it just keeps going. There's like literally 5,000 fighters that they signed here. I don't know what this means. Chris Brown, but the fighter, Chris Brown, not the
first event.
Like, not the guy who beat up Rihanna.
No, a different Brown.
He's one of those.
What's his name? Aleer Latifi got signed. Tiago Santos got signed. It just keeps going. Paige VanZant got signed with them. So I don't know. We have to figure out what's going on, right?
Because they offered me a contract, but I didn't have the prerequisite championship mindset to sign. So they were like, "If you don't have championship mindset, we don't need you." I was like, "All right, never mind."
Have you ever?
Yeah, they had to save their money. Sign Dominic Cruz,
Felipe Lins. I mean, it just keeps going. Hector Lombard got signed with them. Ben Henderson.
So basically, if you fought in UFC pre 2012, you're on the roster.
Fabricio Verdum. He gave you your black belt, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. This whole thing. What is this? This for orthopedic surgeons. I don't understand what this list is, but it's like a hard ass list to swallow right now.
So, bare knuckle fighting. You guys know about this tomorrow night?
Oh,
it's Knuckle Mania.
Yeah, everybody was left over.
It's Knuckle Mania 4, I believe it is. And it's Eddie Alvarez versus Jeremy Stevens.
Oh, wow.
Ben Rothwell against Terrell. And Beck Rawlings against Taylor Stalling. So that's Knuckle Mania tomorrow. Knuckle Mania 5. It's in Philadelphia. Knuckle Mania 5. Who wins this fight? Mayhem?
Eddie Alvarez, hometown hero right now. He's on Philly, going to do it, I think. I mean, Stevens is a tough guy, got a long guy, jabs and stuff. But, I mean, damn. Eddie Alvarez, I don't know. You know, Eddie has been hurt in the past. Fuck, that's a wild one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Alvarez got it, dog.
Sean?
I'm going to go with, did you guys see the guy in the crowd that was asking Jeremy Stevens? He said, dude, you're 27 and 20. Like, what are you going to do? It was like
Joe Pfeiffer.
The most hurtful thing I've ever seen in my life.
That guy's in the UFC, though. He's not even in Knuckle Mania.
I know. He just shit on him for no reason. But, I would sure hope Eddie Alvarez, but who knows?
Some random guy that's not, Joe Pfeiffer. He's a UFC fighter. He's not in BKFC. He's about 3 weight classes above Jeremy Stevens, just showed up to shit on Jeremy Stevens. And McGregor showed up, like, because I guess he's, like, one of the owners. He shows up, like, an hour late and just goes, who gives a fuck? Like, time waits for me. And just basically said, like, and then he started, like, it looked like he was coked out of his mind, like, running around. Yeah, this Knuckle Mania thing is heating up. And some guys started showing up and just started shitting on Jeremy Stevens for absolutely no reason. Don Fry, who wins, Jeremy Stevens or Eddie Alvarez?
I don't know and I don't care, you know.
A true fight fan.
All right, well, since this
I'm sorry, I
totally understand where you're coming from. Sometimes I even think, should we even go over fights, because nobody cares. So here we got a fight coming up, though, actually a really good fight tomorrow in the PFL. Are you guys following this?
No.
Okay, it's another Nurmagomedov. No. Usman Nurmagomedov.
Oh yeah.
Against Paul Hughes. This is going to be a good fight. It's in Dubai. Paul Hughes is the guy that he just beat your friend, the guy that you stole the check from.
Oh, AJ McKee, yeah.
He beat AJ McKee. He was fighting, I think it's Khabib's cousin, right? Is his cousin?
Cousin, yeah. He's like a little kind of skinny dude, isn't he? He's small.
Yeah, he's good though.
Isn't Khabib's little brother?
Is he his brother?
I think he's the little brother.
His brother. That's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a really good fight. And then a brawl broke out in the parking lot. You guys see that?
I did. I saw it, but I didn't watch the clip. Was it fucking
It was a bunch of Dagestani versus Irish fans. But it was like a 30-man brawl.
Jeez, imagine that.
Right?
Imagine that.
Don, were you ever involved in an actual brawl in the parking lot?
Shit. We got in a brawl out in high school, out on the main drag, the main street, right in front of the high school. It's a long story. And then, actually, I was on the side of the cops on that one. And I think that's, we got a couple brawls in college. Yeah,
wait, so
yeah.
You and the cops were beating up high school kids?
It's a long story.
All right, okay, got it. All right, so
I'll talk to Sean. Sean will appreciate it.
All right, so also Vadim Nemkov is fighting Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson's the guy that was in the army, and then he was working as a strip club as well as an Uber driver in the UFC. He's from, I think, Omaha. Really good. Basically, jumped off the couch his last fight and got the knockout. Good dude, really good dude. So that's going on tomorrow in the PFL, which Bellator's done. It's now the PFL. Of course, no one knows about it because they don't believe in promotion. But it's actually going to be a good fight. Mayhem has left the podcast, which is great. Have you guys heard that? Have you guys heard that the next Ultimate Fighter, the coaches are Daniel Cormier and Chael Sonnen?
Yeah, that's wild. That's interesting.
I know. Are they the same weight now? I thought they were working together. So there's going to be another fixed fight in MMA.
Well, they're not actually going to fight each other.
Don't they have a podcast?
Yes. They have a podcast.
Okay.
I think it's better when the coaches fight each other at the end of the season. It doesn't make much sense if not.
Yeah, right, exactly. Have you
unless also- they're bringing the right championship mindset, then that makes it for all the
Oh, we got to find out about this GFL and why they have Robin Black and Brendan Schaub. I have to know everything about this. This seems like they just I don't know what's going on. Have you
lot of people were saying their promotion was a joke, so they brought in Brendan Schaub to prove nothing was funny about their promotion.
That's a great joke. So also on Vice right now, I watched it yesterday on The Dark Side of the Cage. It was about Evan Tanner. Mayhem, did you ever work with Evan Tanner?
Oh, I was real busted up about it. I trained with Baroni against him a couple times. So it was like a weird thing where he was a big part of life. And when that guy died, I was like shocked and fucking hurt myself. You know, I was like, wow, what the fuck? Like, how did he spin off like that? I don't know, man. I never had any personal interaction with him, to be honest, but that whole story affected me because this guy just went off to the desert to die. You know what I mean? He fucked up some which way.
Seemed like a really good guy. I guess after he won the belt, that's when he really started drinking. And just kind of couldn't handle success.
They didn't pay him a lot of money. So even though he's the champion, and then once he was not the champion, I just fell off into a fucking abyss, you know?
Yeah.
So just don't treat you well, you know? You think, oh, you're the champion, you'll be set for life, but he wasn't. And he also
gambled a lot of his earnings away.
Shit. Yeah. Till you get a fucking divorce and the wife takes everything. Fuck.
Yeah. Did you know
Evan Tanner at all, Don?
What?
Did you know Evan Tanner at all? Did you know him at all?
No, I didn't know him, no.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get depressed, watch The Dark Side of the Cage, Evan Tanner. But they got Randy's on it, and they got some good fighters on it.
You know, there's that famous old saying: when you win the title, you're set for the month.
So. Yeah. Boz Rutten's on it too.
That's the kind of championship mindset we need.
I know. This whole mindset now.
Oh, the GFL also signed Dylan Danis. So just
We need. I like this guy. He's fucking weird.
They signed. They signed the Joker and the Penguin too.
The global fighting.
They signed both Dylan Danis and Brendan Schaub, proving you don't have to have any stand up at all to be part of their league. Just a championship mindset.
So, long list of notable names has been announced for the draft. Includes Tony Ferguson, Dylan Danis. Also, yeah, like I said, Brian Kelleher, Chad Mendes, Brett Johns, Darion Caldwell, national champion, Hanan Barao. So here's the full list. Like I said, Pitbull, Ferguson, Rashad, Erica Souza. It keeps going. Cynthia Cavillo, I like her. She missed weight her last couple fights on the UFC, but she was pretty good. Ray Borg, I like Ray Borg. Ricky Mendez, I know him. Norman Park, Neiman Gracie. I don't understand this draft though. Like, so if there's 500 people and they only draft 120, does that mean what happens to the other people? They're not going to fight? Like, I don't under. I don't really understand.
They remain in MMA purgatory like the rest of these guys.
Efren Escudero is also that they signed. This Douglas Lima. Mauricio Hua. Wait, how old is Mauricio Hua?
62.
It's Mauricio.
Yeah.
Got to be close.
Wait until they find out some of these guys can't even fucking walk. Can't even feed themselves anymore. They're so fucking beat up and out of shape.
This reminds me of OSP. It kind of reminds me of like Major League when they're like, this guy's dead. They're like, well, take him off the list. You're like, oh, Todd Duffy. They signed Todd Duffy. Look, I like these guys. Justine Kiesch, that was a girl that I liked that girl a lot. She was the one that shit the cage. Remember she had a fight and the other girl was Felice Herrig was like squeezing so much that the girl shit herself in the octagon. But then she wrote shit happens on Twitter and everyone loved it. So good for her. I guess that's the best way to deal with it. Meanwhile, today in school. So my daughter told me yesterday in school, she has to go to the bathroom. The teacher said no. So then she ended up peeing her pants, right? She said, wait 10 minutes. So they told me about this. So today when I dropped her off at school, I said, hey, so what happened?
You sue them.
Well, so I said, so what happened to my daughter? She said she wouldn't. And the teacher said, came and asked if that happened. And she didn't know about it. It was the other teacher. And she said, and Violet was like saying, yeah, you know, she had to wait 10 minutes. And she said, oh, well, you know, if you have to go to the bathroom, just go. Don't, you know, she was so persuaded. And I was trying to make her laugh because my daughter was like about to cry. Like you could tell she was embarrassed. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, whatever you do, just don't go in the middle of the room and pull down your pants and pee. I go, and don't knock somebody out and then pee on them. Like I was, and then she started dying laughing. So I made it easier, which is, you know, what you want to do. I think you told me that, Mayhem. That was
made her piss her pants.
That was some of the best advice you ever gave me.
What?
If you could make someone laugh, you could ask them anything.
Yeah, I was like trying to teach you how to get into women's pants, not help your daughter.
Yeah, so Sean, do you think you could maybe be in this GFL?
I don't know if I got the right mindset, but I don't know. We can see. I'm definitely old enough to be in it from the names you're naming out, you know, or whatever. Like those guys, a lot of those guys were fighting on UFC cards before me. Like you're saying those names. I remember watching him before I started training. Like, I don't know how.
I don't know how
they're getting signed.
Names. Like, they're not going to, Marco Hua's not going to fight nobody, right?
No, Mauricio Hua. I don't think it's Marco Hua. Mauricio.
Marco Hua.
Shogun?
Man, that's Shogun, right?
Yeah.
Shogun, yeah, that, right. Yeah, that's Shogun. Yeah. I mean, how old is Shogun?
Yeah, he's like 45.
Didn't you fight Shogun or no?
I trained with him, yeah. I gave him the business one time. But like, yeah, he's got to be a little older than me, 46, 7. I don't know.
When you kicked Babalu in the head, did you, right? That was you. Didn't you kick Babalu in the head?
Yeah.
Did you know you were going to get suspended for that?
No. What do you mean? Oh, you Jacare.
Oh, Jacare, yeah.
Suspended for that. I didn't get suspended for that because that was like a legal tactic in Pride before. What the fuck? Like, suddenly you can't do that.
Oh.
And I got the translation.
So it was just muscle memory, or did you know you weren't allowed?
I fucking went down and I said, oh, this is perfect. Here's the time for that move. I practiced that move the whole camp. The fuck? And now it's illegal?
So then you punted him, right? And
bleeding everywhere. In Japan, they do not like blood. And then I was telling the guy, fuck you. And they were like, oh, no fucker you. Because we were on regular TV. Like, no fucker, no fucker. They were yelling that. They're whispering that to me. No fucker, no fucker. I'm like, ah, oh, fuck.
Don, did you see Mark Coleman's weird wheelchair fight?
No,
All right. So,
no.
Fight Circus, right? Which Mayhem used to be involved with, or still in. Nice guy, John. This guy named John Nutt. He does Fight Circus. So he fought Mark Coleman, and they were both in wheelchairs, and they were going back and forth in wheelchairs. I think Coleman won. It looked like Coleman still has power from a wheelchair. Did you see any of this, Mayhem?
Yeah, of course I saw a bunch of it. Yeah. Those guys are hilarious. Yeah. They're fucking doing wacky ass shit out there. Yeah. And it looked pretty wild. Yeah. John Nutt got knocked out of the damn chair. And he's always fighting in like a three-piece suit with no jacket. So he's always with a two-piece suit on. And I think he has like a vest with a watch chain on it. I don't know. This guy's a fucking wacko, man. I love him.
John Nutt is not, he's not appreciated. I feel like we're going to see the documentary on John Nutt like a couple of years from now, and people are going to really appreciate him, or he's going to end up going to jail. And let's keep like the Tiger King, where they do a documentary on him, and it's going to be like Free John Nutt, because he's doing shit that's just like, I mean, you and Jason Ellis back in the day, when I first started working for Jason Ellis, he was ahead of his time. Both of you guys, Sean, they would have these fights where they would have a guy dressed up as a taco versus a guy like dressed up as a it was like a pizza.
Sandwich.
It was a pizza versus a taco, and then they would box. And then then I heard
That called for appropriation?
yes it is.
then I heard I heard but Jason said this is not true, but the girl told me this happened. This girl told me she went to the fight where they had these guys wearing shock collars and then blindfolds, and they would box each other, and then they had kids with Down syndrome pressing the shocking. But Mayhem said that he only knows, but Ellis said he only knows one guy with Down syndrome, like versus like getting 10 people with Down syndrome.
I told you that that's not true, that there was nobody with Down syndrome. But now looking back, that I was running the shock collar. So I think she thought I had Down syndrome. Son of a.
Oh. So they thought, the girls thought that you had Down syndrome, and then this makes total sense. That
I'm gonna push the button.
this makes 100%. Okay. Sean, what do you have coming up? By the
It's
way,
more believable than not.
yes. Sean, what do you have coming up?
Nothing. What do you got? I'm maybe getting a spinal cord stimulator put in my back, so that'll be fun.
Hey.
What do you mean?
It'd be good.
They're trying to do an implant into my back, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. So.
You have to qualify for it, the insurance cover.
Yeah, the first time I had to go argue with some psychologist lady, doesn't matter what color she was, but she tried to convince me that I was making up the my back like back hurting. This time they just had some lady that sounded like Siri call me on the phone and just ask my address and name and say I passed the psychological exam, which was odd because there was no psychological question. So it really all has to do with how good your insurance is, I think. So I had bad insurance before, so they tried to talk me into going to counseling. Now like, I got to get an insurance. They're like, hey, are you currently alive? Yes, you qualify. So.
Jason, what do you have coming up?
I'm on Adam Carolla every day. It's like a fucking full-time job now. Jesus Christ.
You're doing great on it, man. I'm so proud of you, Jason. Like I'm so impressed by you, which is
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm getting paid.
Yeah, I'm getting paid. I mean, something. I mean, fucking at least gas money out there. Jesus Christ. It's in Glendale. Yeah. A
bucket of water so you throw it at the fire on the way through, right?
Did Adam's house make it?
Yeah, it did. It shit is made out of concrete. There's houses like two doors down weren't so lucky. Yeah. So he's like a weird refugee right now. He's like Dr. Drew's house in a fucking bathrobe drinking coffee with them in the morning.
Have you ever done pads with Corolla?
Yeah, it's a fucking old man string that got motherfucker hit the pads pretty hard, bro. He's still at it. Yeah.
No, but it wasn't. Has he ever held pads for you?
Yeah.
He was a boxing trainer, right?
He was, yeah. That's how he got into show business because he fucking radio. I didn't even know this story until he told it. Radio, there was like a radio contest where Jimmy Kimmel was gonna fight somebody on the fight, and Adam Carolla just rolled down there to the radio station with his man Mitch and was like, "Hey, I'm a boxing trainer. I'll fucking do it." and they're like, "Come back tomorrow," and they did. And then there you go. Jimmy Kimmel walked out the door and changed life kind of.
Wow. Now, did Carolla fight Jimmy Kimmel, or he trained him?
Jimmy, he trained a guy, it was a radio stunt. Jimmy was on the radio already, a radio stunt. And, Adam was a carpenter. So during the work site all day, he listened to K-Rock or whatever, and he heard that the guy who's going to do a boxing match, and he was like, "Well, fuck, I coach boxing all the time. Let me go down there." And he did. So he made it. Yeah.
Nice. Don, what do you got coming up?
I still got a video of Stephen Bonner hitting pads with Adam Carolla somewhere on one of my computers.
That dude, Stephen Bonner, is one of the guys I think about him probably once every couple weeks, and I just get sad. Like, I mean, he was such a good dude. Stephen Bonner was one of the nicest people, most gentle. Like,
he was a good guy.
Just a kind person.
He was a good guy.
Remember how the UFC was going to take care of him forever because that final fight with Forrest Griffin, then he got suspended and like disbarred from the whole organization for the same thing John Jones has done 19 times.
Dude, he got fired for the LFA for the dumb. He left a strip club. I guess he saw Dana at a strip club, and Dana gave him like $1,500 worth of chips. This is how he tells it. Right, just hooked him up, and then he left. He was wasted. He got pulled over by the cops. And the cop recognized him. It was Stephen Bonner, man. Well, you know, and let him out. And then he tweets when he gets home, Gus got out of a drunk driving because the cop knew who I was. Good to be Stephen Bonner in the UFC. And then he gets fired for that. fucking worst luck. I remember his house burned down. And I called him. And he's like, yeah, man, my house burned down, blah, blah, blah. I got a comedy show tomorrow night. You think I should still go? I was like, no, your house burned down. Or tonight. He's like, yeah, but they want us to do LSD, take acid or something, and then do comedy. He was really looking forward to it. And I was like, yeah, you probably want to take tonight off. But Bonner was a good dude. I mean, remember that night we saw him in Vegas?
Yeah.
He was.
I introduced him to Adam, and Bonner was on coke or something. He was out of his mind, and Adam just kept looking at me because he was talking 1,000 miles an hour and telling stories. And then Adam saw him judo throw someone at backstage at a comedy show or something.
Don, what do you got coming up?
I got Super Bowl Sunday. I got that autograph thing at RC Collectibles in Lebanon, New Jersey.
Nice. Saturday night, I'll be at the Helium Comedy Club in St. Louis, which is tomorrow. And then coming up, I'm going to be in New Zealand. I'll be at the South Point in Las Vegas, March 7th. And then I'll be in New Zealand and Australia and Thailand and Japan and yada, yada, yada. Go to AdamHunterComedy.com. Thank you guys. Have a good week. You guys are the best.
See you, man.
Love you guys.